Good morning. It's a real pleasure to be here again, and more so to have the privilege of sharing a message with you this morning. I assume you have a blessed year 2019 and a wonderful Christmas with family and friends. Now, as the year is ending, most of us will look back and reflect on the last 362 days. And that's okay, but what is past is past. And good or bad, we cannot change it. I often think about my own past actions and say to myself, I hope I could change what I did or say, but it is too late. So there is no hope. Hope, what a great word. I strongly believe hope is one of the things that keep this world running. I love the word hope so much that is all I'm going to talk about this morning. Let's establish something extremely important. People were created by God for God. The Bible reveals it in John 1, 1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Man was also created and given prominent power over all earthly creation, and was enabled to have direct contact with the Creator. But through all ages since creation, man disobeyed through many forms of sin and lost that precious relationship with God. What is worse is that there was nothing man could do to reestablish communion with God. So, there was no hope. No hope? Well, not so fast. Look what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 12. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Yes, this is about the whole process of salvation. We must recognize that because of sin and before salvation, all men were separated from God. That left us hopeless and without possible human repair. It's clear that those who haven't yet accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord for their lives, those are without God, therefore without hope. But listen, without a shadow of a doubt, I hope that will change today. When we accept Jesus, He saves our soul. He cleans us up 100%, and He gives us the hope in which we are going to reflect this morning. So let's focus on the benefits of biblical hope. If you do know Jesus, if you do have hope, if you are right with God, there are wonderful benefits that you can enjoy. First, the benefit of anchoring your hope in Jesus provides tranquility for life. We find assurance of this peaceful state in Romans 15:13, which reads, Now may the God of hope fill you with all that joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this hope imparts hope. If you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God completes you and makes it possible that in spite of hard times, in spite of difficult circumstances, you'll still have joy. Biblical joy is an inner delight in God and will fill us with promises and give us comfort and happiness, no matter what troubles we may encounter. In spite of all adversities we may experience in life, we may be able to manifest joy. That's because the circumstances of other persons' lives don't dictate how we view our life if we know the Lord Jesus. So even with all kinds of physiological frustration we deal with, I say we steer on an overarching, undercurving joy on our lives. Biblical peace is the inner content of freedom, of crippling anxiety and fear that comes from a complete reconciliation with God. If I'm right with the Creator, if I'm right with the Savior, does anything else ultimately matter? If I'm reconciled with God and I have hope through Christ, why should I have no peace? Biblical peace is an abundant joy, is an overflowing abundance of power from the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us, if we are right with God, we have hope. We should be overflowing in hope. Hope pushes our contrary emotions, discouragement, depression, fear, anxiety, and bitterness. Hope does not coexist well with those things. When we are overflowed with hope, those emotions are pushed away from our lives. Another benefit of anchoring hope in Jesus is that it provides stability while suffering. Let's flip back to Matthew 7, in which we encounter a familiar passage of the scripture, where Jesus tells about the wise man who founded his house on the rock, the rains came, the floods came, and the house on the rock stood firm. Sorry, I'm relying a little bit too much on the song that we learn as kids than quoting the actual scriptures. So look with me in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will like him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Believers recognize Jesus is the rock. But then look at verse 25. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. Which house? The house of the full man? Well, yeah, that too. But he's not talking about that. He's referring to the wise man's house. So Jesus is not saying, if the rain falls on the house, if the flood come to the house, if the wind blow to the house. No, he's saying, the rain will fall, the flood will come, and the wind will blow on the wise man's house. Jesus is being truthful, always is. He's up front. He tells you straight up, the storms will come, even to somebody who obeys the Lord and builds his house on Christ, the rock. Storms will come, winds will still flow and beat on God's people. Believers and unbelievers alike, we all are the same creation. Believers are exposed to the same limitations, trials, and tribulations, including having a sinful nature. Living in the brighter side of our lives doesn't tell us much about ourselves. And anybody, and I mean anybody, anybody can build a house that will stand firm when the sun is shining and the wind isn't blowing. Let the proverbial rain fall and floods rise and wind blow. Then those who have anchored their lives in the Lord Jesus Christ will stand strong by His grace. That will make people think and ask. Wait a minute, you reacted to the rain and the floods and the wind in a very different way than us. Why? A person who followed Jesus will answer in this way. I built my life on a strong foundation. I built it on Christ. My hope on Him provides a stability in my whole life. Making a parenthesis, let me tell you a story about a young black man who witnessed a fire as a child in his neighborhood, and that prompted him to become a firefighter. So he grew up, and when he became a teenager, he joined the voluntary service in the local fire station. And after 18 long years serving as such, he became the chief firefighter in Atlanta. In 2015, he was fired because he wrote a book in his personal time, affirming biblical marriage and sexuality. He later said he knew he could lose his job over that book. Nevertheless, he decided to stand strong on the biblical principle, trusting that God will take care of him through and any and all the storms and troubles that will come. When we follow God's ways, speaking the truth in our current culture, there are consequences. The consequences are there. But when we stand on the promises of God, He'll show the world that there are a kingdom consequences. And these are always greater than the worldly consequences. So folks, when you put your hope in the Lord, you put your heart in Jesus. If the rains come and the floods rise and the winds blow, then you put all that into the Father and He gives you stability. Building your life in the rock is the best insurance you can ever have. So anchoring your hope in Jesus does not prevent adversity, but it does provide stability in the midst of the worst storms. Oh, let's not forget, the foolish man built his house in the sands of religion, sands of philosophy, sands of man's opinions, and his house fell. The scripture reveals that in verse 27. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So if you don't anchor your life in Jesus, when life troubles comes to your life, you'll face a great fall. I mean a great fall. Founding your life in Christ ensures not only great stability while enduring life tribulations, but guarantees security for dying. This is clear in 1 Corinthians 15. Yes, I realize we're still in the spirit of Christmas time, not Easter, but I think this surely fits here because the incarnation, without the resurrection, will make all Christmas useless. Surely, if you take everything about Christmas and subtract the crucifixion and resurrection, Christmas means nothing. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 13 through 14, Paul talks about the ifs. Let's see. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Let's just imagine, if indeed there is no proof there is resurrection, and if indeed Christ is not risen, preaching is useless. So is your faith. Again, if Christ is not risen, then you're still attached to your sins. Let's make sure these teachings are not simply mine. Instead, let's rely on Paul's strong warnings found in verses 16 through 18 of the same chapter. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. This last verse implies that if our family and friends place their faith in Jesus, but resurrection didn't occur, they are already perished. But over 2,000 years ago, two Marys went to the tomb of Jesus, and they heard three of the most important and extraordinary, miraculous words ever pronounced. He is risen. And because He is risen, you and I can die knowing that if He is risen, so shall we also one day be risen. Verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men the most pitiable. But we thought we have hope, not only in this life, but also in the next life. Most of us have wonderful memories and often deposit our souls on them. Nothing really bad about that, but it's important to notice something. Something I would say is almost critical. When we do such thing, we are reaching back to time and essence that are past and not recoverable. Immersing ourselves in a useless, unrewarding state. The real problem is that we are not reaching forward, so in that effort we express wishes but no hope. Those who die knowing Christ do not perish, but rather fall asleep and are still alive, actually more alive than they ever had been. And we, as believers, will continue to make memories for all eternity. And there all will be perfect, pleasant memories that we'll never forget. Look, I am daily making extremely wonderful memories along with my wife, Toni. Almost 46 years of memories. And I know that if the Lord so desires, our earthly memories will come to an end. He can erase everything. Not that he's going to do it, but he could do that. Now, Toni knows Jesus. I know Jesus. And although we will not be husband and wife in heaven, memories will continue forever. Because we have hope in Jesus. And hope in Jesus means you can go to the grave not fearful, but knowing it's not the end. No, it is not the end. It's just a transition, a bridge, if you will, into eternity. So anchoring your hope in Jesus provides security for dying and removes agony from grieving. In the context of recommendations about how to lead a quiet life, Apostle Paul imagines Christians in two different places. Christians in the grave and Christians at the grave. I love how Paul talks about death of believers, being asleep in Jesus. The first is sleeping, the second grieving. Christians in the grave, their souls already in heaven. Christians at the grave, their hearts still need hope. So keep in mind the letter to the Thessalonians was written to the first generation of believers. They didn't have full copies of the scripture. Paul had limited interaction with them, and he wanted to make sure they understood what sooner or later will be coming unto them. At the time, Paul, as many others, thought the Lord was coming back soon, in their time. That was great hope for all. But later someone may get really sick, terminally ill, all of a sudden some of their family members start dying, and their hope for seeing the Lord Jesus coming back was practically vanishing. Paul writes to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Paul clarifies that what's in the grave is just the body. For believers to have a dead body in the grave is to be in the presence of the Lord. One day he's going to be a trumpet blast, an angel's shout, and those who die in Christ will rise first, and those that are still alive will be taken into the air.